Thank you, Brother Joe. Hope I don't lay an egg, but... I bring you greetings this morning from Portland Missionary Baptist Church. And I want you to pray for our church.
Amen.
What you don't know is our church is hurting right now. And I want it to be there. Monday morning, I got a phone call from a church member to inform me that her son had passed away. 49-year-old man, member of our church, faithful member of our church for a time, substitute Sunday school teacher, vacation Bible school director. But he came to me last year, and he was struggling with alcohol. He had a drinking problem. So he went to rehab. Spent a year in rehab. Got out doing great again. And we have not seen him since Thanksgiving. He started back drinking around Thanksgiving. His mom and dad hadn't seen him since Thanksgiving. Monday morning, his mom's sister went to her and said, "Look, I texted Jeremy and it didn't show delivered." Said, "Every other one of my texts have always showed delivered. You might want to do a welfare check." So she called the Conway Police Department. They went over to his police station. They went over to his apartment. And they found Jeremy dead in the floor. When his mom called me, I was on my way to a church member's house whose birthday it was to deliver a birthday card and flowers to her. She was 87. And she asked me, she said, "Are you at home?" I said, "No, I'm on my way to Brother Deaver's." But once she told me what happened, I said, "I'll be right over." She lives right across the street from him. So I went over there and spent some time with the family, prayed with the family, and left. And it's been a burden. You know, I was very close to my pastor in Louisiana. So close that I thought I knew everything that he went through. I understood how he felt, I thought. But you never know how the burdens your pastor carries until you pastor yourself. I've had a heavy burden this week. But the greatest blessing happened, brother. Tuesday night, my phone went off. I had a text. I looked down at my phone, and it was from a church member. And they said, "How are you holding up?" And I said, I wonder if they meant to send that to Sister Diane. And then the very next Another text came in before I could even respond and said, "I'm praying for you." So I texted them back. I said, "Was that for Sister Diana? Was that for me?" And they said, "It was for you." I said, "I appreciate you. I appreciate you." I said, "Because let me be honest." I said, "I've got a heavy burden. Because now I got to stand before our church on Wednesday night and I got to find what to say to our church to help our church. Lord, help me through it." I praise the Lord for that. And I shared with them how I would be making this trip that was scheduled because Sister Diane told me she wanted me to come. She said, "Do not cancel your trip. Go be with your mother and father-in-law. We will be fine." So please pray for Brother Josh Young. He's the young man filling in for me this morning. He will be preaching about the time we get out of service because we're in Central Standard Time, so we're an hour behind. He will be starting to preach about the time we get out. Please pray for him. because he's standing in my place preaching to a hurting church. I told Brother Jay already I appreciated his Sunday school lesson on the seriousness of the gospel. Great Sunday school lesson. If you missed it, you missed a good one. And he set me up perfect for the message that I have for you this morning. May recall that 2 weeks ago when we was here to attend the funeral of Leanne's aunt. And I preached on the message of a coffin. This morning I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. And I'm going to preach on the message of the cross. The message of the cross. First Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, and I'm torturing myself this morning. I have a small print Bible. I didn't bring my normal Bible. I brought this one because I love this Bible, but it's small print. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. Paul says, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with them of words, lest the cross of Christ should be of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, so thankful for another opportunity to preach your word. And Father, I thank you for these dear saints here at Faith Baptist Church. Thank you for their pastor. And Father, you know what they mean to us. You know how much we love them. And Father, we ask you bless them. Father, I pray this morning that you might use me to be a blessing to them, if that be your will. And Father, I pray you'll be Brother Josh Young this morning. As he stands in my place over the flock that you've entrusted to me. And Lord, I pray that you would give him the power and unction from on high. The message that they need this morning that might comfort their hurting hearts. Father, I pray for the church there. I ask, Lord, that you continue to just be with us, that you would bless us, that you would help me, Lord, to minister there like I should. But Father, today I'm standing before these saints. Father, I pray that you would help me to focus on them and focus on you as I try to minister to them. Father, I pray that you would bless them, that you would use me this morning. And Father, I pray if there's one here that's lost, that they might hear this message. And that you might open their eyes to their lost condition and give them the faith to trust in the redemptive work of Christ and that alone for their salvation. Now, Father, I just pray your blessings upon the preaching of your word this morning. I ask you would use me in spite of me, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Paul is writing this epistle to a church in Corinth. A church that he had established there in that region. And he reminded them that the Lord had called him for one purpose and one purpose alone. He hadn't called him to baptize. He called him to preach the gospel. That was why he was called to preach the gospel. Here Apparently at this church there had been some arguing over who had been the one that ministered their baptism. And Paul says, look, I wasn't called to baptize. I was called to preach the gospel. That was the focus of his message. That was the focus of his ministry. However, we're living in a day and age when many churches, and I'll use that term loosely, are changing their message. They're not preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're preaching a salvation by good works or religion or religious rituals and salvation by grace and grace alone. Brother Jay mentioned this morning how Satan has his gospel. Satan has his counterfeits. This is the Word of God in the English language. But Satan has many counterfeits. All your modern day translations remove the blood of Christ and the deity of Christ. That's why we stick to this King James Bible. The message of the cross today has been replaced by a message that lacks power. It has no hope. Said preachers standing up behind the word, the pulpits in the Lord's churches and preaching against sin, preaching the word of God to men as it is and as they are, they're getting up and they're tickling the ears of those who hear. They're preaching just what the people want to hear. Oh, you know, you're not really that bad. Like the old prophets of old, many of your preachers today are preaching peace, peace, when there is no peace. You see, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you might think that you have peace, but you don't have that peace which passeth all understanding. When that first storm comes into your life, your peace is rocked. But if you got that peace which passeth all understanding, you can remain firm and true. This morning I want to share with you the message of the cross. So that you might, let me see if I can read my scribbling. Come by the grace of God to believe the message of the cross. Let me just say that the message of the cross is to be preached. It's to be preached. Look at verse 23. Verse 23 of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul says, but we preach Christ crucified. Amen. What a message Paul preached. He preached Christ crucified. He preached the gospel. To the Jews, he says it was a stumbling block. And unto the Greeks, foolishness. It was a strange message, the preaching of the cross. Christ crucified. The Jews couldn't get it in their minds, couldn't understand that the promised Messiah, the one that they had heard about for years, that would come and deliver them, would come and die. They could not wrap their minds around it. They couldn't understand why he had to die. It was for their sins. It was for our sins. that he died upon that cross. The prophet Isaiah had testified that their Messiah would be despised, rejected, and suffer for their sins as well as the sins of others, but they still didn't understand the preaching of the cross. They couldn't fathom that their Messiah would die. Now, the Greeks prided themselves on being wise, and they just thought it was foolish that someone would come and die so that someone else might live. They just said, that's foolishness. Ain't no way. It's the same way today. The message of the cross is still a strange message. People don't understand. What do you mean Jesus had to die so that I could live? I'm alive, ain't I? Where's Brother Jay? There he is. What was the excuses you gave in Sunday school, brother? I guess people today don't understand. How can you believe that strange message that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried and he rose again the third day? For a lost sinner, the thought of trusting in a suffering, bleeding man for salvation is just plain stupid. Preaching of the cross is a strange message. They just can't understand it. It's also a shocking message. Turn, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I quote 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'll tell you what Paul preached, but I'm going to let you read it. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Imagine the shock to hear that this man who many have witnessed be crucified on this cross, they have seen it with their eyes, and yet these men are standing up and declaring to everyone who would listen to them, yes, he was crucified. Yes, he was buried, but he's alive. He arose the third day. And now he's seated at that right hand of the Father in heaven. Paul goes on here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And he tells them he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are falling asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. There's a great number of people who had witnessed Christ resurrected from the dead. Yet there were many who refused to believe that message because they hadn't seen it or they didn't believe it. Remember the Jews, after Jesus, they found out the body of Jesus was gone, went around telling everybody that would listen to them that the apostles had come and stolen his body away. And so many were deceived. They believed that lie. And they could not believe that this man that they witnessed crucified would be alive. Remember, crucifixion was one of the most horrific forms of execution known to man. It was a cruel, horrible death to suffer. And they could not believe that someone suffered all that and yet still lived. Furthermore, they couldn't believe that he did all that so that they might be saved. That's what they can't wrap their minds around, is that he suffered all that he suffered so that we might be saved. There's no salvation apart from faith in the work of Jesus on Calvary. Preaching the cross is also a simple message. It is. It's very simple. The message of the cross tells us that Christ has already done everything needed to do in order that we might be saved. In Acts chapter 16, verses 30 and 31, the Philippian jailer, you know the story, comes up to Paul and Silas and asks them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" There's nothing for you to do. Believe what has already been done. Believe that Jesus died for your sins, that he was buried and he rose again the third day. You know, the gospel is so simple that man thinks he has to add something to it. It seems like almost every denomination in the world, known to man, has added something to salvation. Oh yes, you have to believe that Jesus was the Christ, that he died for your sins, but you also have to do this. You have to be baptized in order to complete your salvation. No, it's just a picture of what Christ has already done. You're just identifying with your Savior. It's a picture of your death, your burial, and your resurrection. Yet people think there's saving power in that water somehow. There are those who say you have to be a member of their church in order to be saved. Foolishness. Yeah. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 are very clear. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Turn, if you will, to Romans chapter 10. I was going to look at verses 14 through 17. But Brother Jay brought up a verse in his Sunday school class, and I'm going to start there. Romans chapter 10, and I want to start at verse 13. Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who have believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." The message of the cross isn't about you quitting your sins or turning over a new leaf. The message of the cross is about you coming to Jesus. By God's grace, through faith in what he has done, in order that you might be saved. What's the purpose of the cross? Purpose of the cross is important too. You see, the purpose of the cross was to prove God's love. God had been declaring how he loved his people. He declared it numerous times in the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 7 and 8. He tells the children of Israel, "The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because he would keep the oath which he has sworn under your fathers, have the Lord brought you out from mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt." It wasn't nothing special about the children of Israel that God chose them. And the same is true of his elect today. It's nothing special about any of us. I'm like Paul. I'm a chief of sinners. It's hard for me to imagine anyone being a worse sinner than what I was before the Lord saved me. I'm so thankful that one day God opened my eyes to see that, help me see that God loved me and he sent his son to die in my place. You see, the message of the cross screams, God loves you. Romans 5, 6 through 8 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Did you catch that? While we were yet sinners. You don't have to clean yourself up to be saved. God will clean you up after he saves you. The message of the cross is God's statement of love to sinners. John 15, 13 says, "Greater love have no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." The message of the cross is about proving God's love for sinners, but it's also about providing salvation. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22 says, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission." That's why it's so important to have the blood in the Word of God. Because without the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, none of us would be saved. This truth is seen all the way back in the beginning with Adam and Eve. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 21, after Adam and Eve had sinned, the Bible says, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them." Remember, they had ate from the tree of good knowledge of good and evil. And when they did, their eyes were opened to the fact they was naked. And they hid themselves from God. That just goes to show how foolish you are when you sin. Think that you can hide yourself from God. A God who sees all, knows all. Yes, God cried out to Adam, "Where art thou?" But he knew where he was. He knew what he had done. He was trying to get Adam to see what he had done, that he was a sinner. Everything in the Old Testament just points to what Christ would do on the cross. Hebrews 10:4 tells us, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Jesus went to the cross and he died for every sinner who will believe in him. Those who will believe the message of the cross. Hebrews 10:14 says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." It's the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sin. However, I also believe that the message of the cross is about defeating Satan. Remember in the Old Testament, I already went there once to Genesis chapter 3, when he pours out his judgment upon man, upon woman, and upon that serpent, the devil. And he said that her seed, Satan would bruise the heel of her seed, the promised Messiah, the one he was referring to, and he would crush the heel of Satan. On the cross, his heel was bruised, and the head of Satan was crushed. I'm sure that as Jesus was hanging there on that cross and suffering all that he suffered there as he hung, that Satan probably thought he had won the victory. I'm sure that he thought it was over when Jesus cried with his last breath, "It is finished," and gave up the ghost. I'm sure that he was rejoicing. What the devil didn't know is Jesus didn't stay dead. And he wasn't planning on it either. Maybe that serpent should have listened just a little bit closer to what Jesus said on that cross. He didn't say, "I am finished." He said, "It is finished." On the cross, Jesus defeated that old devil. And he secured the victory for everyone who comes by the grace of God of faith in his redemptive work. Lastly, I'll wrap up very quickly. I want to tell you a little bit about the power of the cross. When the message of the cross is preached and believed, three great things take place. And all three of these things help to reveal the power of the cross. First, sin dies. When a sinner comes by the grace of God, believing and trusting in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not alone for their sins, that sinner is changed forever. Romans 6:14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." When a sinner comes by the grace of God of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, that sinner's life is transformed. They become a new creature. The Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Like Brother Jay said in your Sunday school lesson, too many people today are trusting in something else for their salvation. And there's been no change in their life. They're either trusting in a prayer that they said and believing somebody that tells them, "Oh, you're okay." But if there's not been a change in your life, you're not okay. If you've been saved by the grace of God, there's going to be a change in your life. You're going to be a new creature. Romans 6:6 says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Now, I'm not trying to preach to you and tell you that when we are saved by the grace of God, we quit sinning. Because I'll stand up here and lie to you if I said that. All you got to do is read Romans chapter 7. You'll find that Paul himself struggled with sin on a daily basis. And so does every child of God. But sin will not have dominion over you. It will not control you and dominate your life like it did before you were saved. Hell is defeated. No blood-washed, blood-bought, born-again believer will ever experience the flames and fire of hell. Jesus says in John chapter 5, verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you that he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." We'll never come into condemnation. Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Power of the message of the cross is that sin dies, hell is defeated, and heaven is delivered. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Oh, how great and powerful is the message of the cross. Amen. Paul said over in Romans chapter verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." Let me close this morning with a story that's told concerning John Wesley. And I know John Wesley wasn't a Baptist, okay? But it said that John Wesley was returning home one night from a service when he was robbed. The thief took everything that he had, but he didn't have much. Just a small amount of money and some Christian literature. And as he was leaving, Wesley called out to him, "Stop! I have something more to give you." Imagine the thief's surprise. "Man, this man's crazy. What does he mean he has something else to give me?" He says, "My friend, you may live to regret this kind of life that you're living. And if you do, ever do, here's something I want you to remember. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin." Boy, that thief took off like he had seen a ghost or something, I don't know. And Wesley prayed that his words might bear fruit. Years later, after service, he is greeting the people as they leave. He's shaking their hands. And to his surprise, this man shakes his hand. And to his surprise, it was the same man who years earlier had robbed him. And that man looked at John Wesley and he says, "I owe it all to you." And Wesley told him, "No, my friend. You don't owe it all to me, but the precious blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin." What about you this morning? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Brother.